Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
This morning, the title of our message, and we are going to get right into this because we want to make time to celebrate and receive communion. You know, I always say I don't like to take communion because we don't grab anything from God. He gave, we receive. So today, the title of our message is a little bit unusual, but it's called, I Didn't See That Coming. I didn't expect that. I didn't see it coming. And that happens a lot in our lives. And I want to begin by saying this and setting a foundation. There are things in life that are going to happen in your life and mine that are very unexpected, and some are wonderful. I mean, you walk in the room, there's a surprise party, and guess who it's for? It's for you. It's all about you. That is great. That's awesome. You win the lotto, you immediately give me my share, and that's all great, and that's wonderful. But you get the promotion, but there are other things in life, and you know that there are. And these things happen when they seem to blindside you, that things that you didn't anticipate. And, you know, last week, I shared with you the scripture from Job when I was talking about sometimes we have to lay our Isaac down or give up things in order to serve God. And I used the scripture from Job 1:20 and 22 that told us, I'm just going to be brief, told us what Job did, what Job said. He said, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this week, we're going to use that exact same scripture. And we're not going to tell you what he said, the Lord giveth and taketh away, but we're going to tell you what he did. When unexpected trouble came, Job worshiped God. The Bible says he fell to the ground and he worshiped God. Even before he spoke about the problem, he spoke and worshiped God. And the one comfort I can give you is this, that before you saw it coming or knew there was a problem, God saw it. And he provided the answer, which is Jesus. And God is consistent. He's the same yesterday and today. We can predict who God is, but we cannot predict life, can we? We can't predict what will happen in life. And I know that many of you, if you're like me, you know that God allows tests in our life, but sometimes there's so much. We don't understand the reason. I'll tell you that. Sometimes when something terrible happens in your life, you're asking the question why, and I understand that, and I know God understands it. But I heard someone say not too long ago, they were crying out to God, and they said, I've never, ever been in this much pain. And I said, but you've never been in this much prayer either, have you? You know, so we have to get a perspective on why God allows those things to happen in our life. He doesn't cause them. He didn't cause your trouble, and he's there for you. But there are going to be things, and even God's going to, we're going to talk about that in a minute, Pastor Ken and I, God disrupting our life. Even God can interrupt our life, things unexpected. But for me, the unexpected tragedy that happened in my life that I was not expecting was on my way to Chick-fil-A when my niece called me screaming and said, Dad is on the ground. And it was 5 minutes later that Dad was in heaven. And those kind of things, they hit you. They hit you hard. Like they hit, you can imagine then how it would hit Job and why his response was amazing. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We love that part about the Lord giveth. But wow, when we read that second part, but the Lord taketh away. And yet still, Pastor Ken, he worshiped God. He worshiped God. In 2 seconds, is that our response? And I pray that it is. It should be. If we're worshipers, it will be.
Wow, there's so much to unpack there. And I think that the only way that he was able to do that is because he had prepared his heart ahead of time. You can't wait until everything falls apart to decide who you believe and what you believe. And it's not just what you believe, it's more of who Because he's a who. He's not just, it's not a belief system. The Holy Spirit is a real person. The Father is a real person. So I have, I think the distractions of life can cause us to forget who we are and about our relationship with God and the struggles of life. There are some universal things. I know that we all have unique situations, but the one thing that's the same is we experience pain and pleasure and laughter and sadness the same. If someone's crying, you don't have to imagine how they feel. You can relate as a human being to that. So we agree on certain things. Mostly we agree. Brussels sprouts. Right, mostly. We mostly agree on things, not always. But here's some universal things that's the same for everyone, right? I like the fact that we experience things the same because when Jesus came to earth, he experienced what we experience. He knows what temptation is. He knows what heartache is. He knows what it's like to be laughing so hard that you're crying. So I like that about Jesus, that he understands that completely. And so the one universal thing, well, there's several universal things. One is in the garden, we see when they sinned, they hid. So we all have that shame, that we're driven by shame. But I want to address the problems in our life. I was thinking about the world is so angry. And I was like, what are they angry about? And I've tried to break this down to, Pam says everything. But what I wanted to do is take that algebra formula and find out what X equals. I mean, the algebra formula is really long, but you keep crossing out and these two cancel each other out, X equal 1. You go, that long formula and X is 1. So what is it that's the same about all of us? And what people are mostly angry about and sad about, I believe it's this, and then you got to chew on this a while. It's rejection. They're mad at someone because they were rejected in some way, right? No matter what the situation, somehow the anger comes from rejection. And the reason I say that is, what do I think that people want more than anything? They want to feel accepted. They want to feel that they're not just one of billions of human beings. They're not just a grain of sand, but that God knows their name. And I'm here to tell you that that is fortunately and amazingly the truth, that you are unique, you are special, you are called, you are chosen, you are watched over. God knows your name, he knows your voice, he knows your fingerprints, he knows how many hairs are on your head, he knows your dreams, he knows your past, he knows your future, he knew the day you got saved, he knew the day you fell, he knows you today, he knows what's happening tomorrow. And just because we get, what's the title, Pam, of the message? I didn't expect that. Just because we don't expect tomorrow, God does. He is for you. And that, yes, it's scary that we have no idea what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. No idea what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month. We have no idea. And if you feel out of control, that's a good feeling, but it's even better to realize God is in control. Who cares if you're out of control, if God's in control? If you're with the shepherd, it doesn't matter where the sheep go, as long as you're with the shepherd. The only time we need to get really afraid is when we have separated ourselves from the shepherd, from the master, and then really anything could happen. So we don't like disruption in our life. And that was Pam's comment. She said, we don't like disruption in our life. And I get that we like knowing what's happening. But I have another perspective also, that it's boring when the same thing happens every week and every month. And that's not what God's kingdom is all about. When you connect with God, you are on the roller coaster. You're on the you're going to go upside down. This ride of life goes upside down. This ride of life has sudden drops that you didn't even see coming. But it's an illusion of danger, because if you're in the boat with Jesus, if you're trusting God and if you're connected with God, and so all those stories in the Bible, you know, coming out of Egypt and Moses, all those adventures that they had, those is what it is. It's adventures in God. I was actually, Pam wrote this message, but the things I was praying about yesterday, I actually could have written just about every sentence of this. I was praying yesterday. You know how sometimes you ask God a question and then he like plays the reverse Uno card on you? Or maybe it's the draw four, you know? So I was, it's okay to ask God honest questions. So I would rather do that than pray religious prayers, just talking to God. So the question is, God, I want you to be more real in my life. That's one thing I'm praying, is I want the reality. I don't want any of this to be theory. I want to walk with God like Moses did. I want to be jealous. If we have a better covenant, I should have at least the same walk as Moses, if not better. The same, and that's what we see in the New Testament. So, but so I'm praying to God. I want things to be more real to me, but I also want God to use me more. And that was my question / almost an accusation. Why aren't you using me more? It wasn't, but it was me saying, what's going on? I want to be used by God more. And this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit shared with me. And again, this is not some vision or something. It's just the impression I got. And I think this is true. The only way God can use us is to the extent that we've given him permission to use us. And I don't mean a religious prayer where you just go, okay, God, you can use me in any way you want. Because when you actually ask God to move in your life and to cause you to be used of God and meet the needs of people, believe me, that is not a prayer you want to pray if you don't mean it. Because you won't be doing the same old after that. You're going to be, so I'm going to turn this over to Pam, but one more. We're on this earth and we're falling through space, you know, as we go around the solar system. And life sometimes feels like it is out of control and you worry about tomorrow. I was thinking about tomorrow. I was thinking about the future and I was thinking all the challenges, and it can be overwhelming if you think that way. But if you're praying about it, and I just thought to myself, I have to let go of my fear and let go of my fear of the future and trust that I have a God that's in charge and is watching over me.
I heard someone say that recently, said God is large and in charge, and I agree with that. He is a big God. He is a great God, and he certainly is in control. The question is he in control of my life? Have I submitted to him ordering my life? You know, when the unexpected happens, here's how I want to look at this. If I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve problems? If I never had lost my way, how would I know he's the way maker? If I never was in pain, how would I know that he really is the pain taker? If I wasn't sick, how would I know that I even had a need for a healer? You know, but God allows things in our life. But I want to say this, if God has allowed a test in your life, he's allowed it for a purpose. I know we don't like to hear that. And if God has disrupted your life, he's done that for a purpose. And I want to say something else, that in our life, one of the ways we know that we are really serving God, really submitted to God, and really trusting him is how we handle adversity. How do we handle when the unexpected hits us? You know, what's our first instinct? How do we act? Do we fall apart? Do we let it just crush us to the core? Do we blame God? Do we blame others? Or do we say like Job, blessed be the name of the Lord gives and the Lord hath taken away. And do we fall on our face and worship him? And that's what we need to do, but sometimes you won't do that. You do what you're in a habit of doing. If you're in a habit of blaming people when something goes wrong, that's what you're going to do when the worst happens. If you're in a habit of worshiping God through the good times and the bad times, that's what you will continue to do, because out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. If blessed be the name of the Lord is in your heart, then that's what's going to come out. If you're in your heart, you're constantly thinking, why did God do this? Why didn't God do that? You're accusing God, and that's what you will do. But I want to tell you that if we can trust God with our past, and he's always been faithful, or you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't even be alive today. What makes us think that since he's brought us through everything, 100% of the problems you faced up until now, he's brought you through, or he is bringing you through even now, why would we not trust him with our future? And my secondary question is, do you have anyone else you can trust and go to that is greater than God that you might consider going to? I don't think so. And so, you know, sometimes God does things that we don't understand. And I looked in the Bible and I seen so many people that God, and you can say, I don't agree with God. Go ahead. Nice try. But God allowed people that he was going to specifically use to do great things to be tested. Did you know that Moses had to be tested, that he spent 40 years in a wilderness, he killed a man, all kinds of things, but God still had a plan for his life? And did you know that so many people went through things? Did you know that Joseph had dreams? But here's the thing, God knows you need to be tested, and here's why. Did you know that you may think in your heart, I'm ready for that promotion, but you might be ready for the promotion, but you're probably not ready for the pressure of the promotion, are you? You're probably not ready for the responsibility of that. Yes, you want it. And you may even be anointed by God, like David was anointed. But if God gives you something prematurely, you're going to fall flat on your face. And he knows that. But that doesn't mean his promises won't come to pass. He gave Joseph dreams, but Joseph had to be tested. He had to go through the process. And I'm telling you today that if you're going through something, it's because God has a purpose and he wants to use you, but you are going through the process and you cannot circumvent that. You cannot decide, I don't want to be tested, God. I don't want to face adversity. That's not up to you. Either God will allow it in your life, but the devil will help provide some of that adversity, but it's how you handle it. It's who you go to. It's the same God that was faithful yesterday is faithful today. But I'm telling you, a blessing can become a curse if you get it too early. What do you would think would happen if you gave your 16-year-old full inheritance rights right now? Rights to your bank account, rights to your car. Just go ahead, write them a check, Ken. See what they do with it. Go ahead, give them that $100,000. Let me tell you, they'll be gone through that like yesterday because they were not ready to receive the blessing. So I want to make a remark. And I want to share something with you, no matter what you're going through. God is not preparing a blessing for you. He's already got blessings for you. He is preparing you for the blessing. He's getting you ready. And if you think, well, I'm going through some hard things and I ain't seen no promises of God in my life. Well, you know what? You got to keep going through the process because God's got that. He's preparing you for that. You ain't ready for that. And you may think you are, but you're not. Joseph wasn't ready for that. David wasn't ready for the throne. He had to go back and keep sheep and keep dealing with bears and lions. And I can tell you, I think I said this last week or in a Monday night class, if David had got the position too soon, the first spear King Saul threw at him, he would have thrown one right back at him, right through the heart, because he was good at what he did. But God had to test him and say, you're not ready yet. You're not humble enough. You're not submitted enough to me. And so some of that testing you're going through, you just keep going through it, you know, because let me tell you, I'm not ready for the blessing. If God gave me the whole lotto, let me tell you, new cars for everyone. I mean, what do you mean there's poor people out there? Wait a minute. You know, we got to buy our new cars. We're not ready for it. And God knows. And I'm thankful that God doesn't give me things that I can't handle. And that if he has brought you to it, he will bring you through it. If you're facing something today, if God has brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it.
Well, if it's not real, we don't want it, do we? No. If it's not real, we don't want it. But if it is real, we want the genuine.
Right.
So, philosophically, do you believe that God has a plan for your life?
Yes.
Really think about that. If God really has a plan for your life, I bet it's pretty exciting, don't you think?
Yeah.
You think that if you went to some architect and said, show me the dream house, that it would be a little apartment? So whatever life you're leading now is probably not where God wants you to be living as far as your overall experience in walking with God. Like Pam said, he's got to get us ready. So, but if that's true, that God has a plan for your life, and since God is like the master planner, it's got to be true that it's exceedingly abundantly above what you could think. That the way God wants to use you is probably a lot greater than your ordinary daily life. Maybe there's a time where you say, I was born for such a time as this. You've got, as every day you go out into the world, you don't know that you're going to have a God assignment that you were put on this earth for. But you've got to be listening for that. You've got to be, if you say, God, use me, now you have to watch, because Satan would want you to go in all kinds of wrong directions too. When you're looking for individuals to assist and people, the ministry of reconciliation is what you've been given, is the ministry of reconciliation. When you're looking for those opportunities, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by your flesh, not by the enemy, not by the world. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit will lead you into some very supernatural but amazing things that will have you have amazing testimonies. And we're looking at the life of Joseph from the Old Testament. Before he lived, what an adventure. See, if you ask God to use you, I mean, look what happened to Joseph. It was insane, all the stuff that it, talking about, you could make movies of his life. It wasn't just, he gets sold into slavery, he's with Potiphar's wife, and he gets thrown into prison, and he's got dreams, he's got visions. You know, he becomes the second in command of Egypt, and over, there's so many things that happened in his life that it was, but it was all because he said yes to God. Joseph got this dream, and he had God dreams when he was a boy about how God was going to use him in the future. And we talk, so I want to ask you about your dreams, and I want to ask about your foolish dreams too. Come on. And let's make fun of children, because they're easy to make fun of. And as adults, if we make fun of children, but I'll show you where I'm going with this. Because when we make fun of children for having foolish dreams, my point is, we don't realize that as adults, we have some foolish dreams. So if I say, yeah, Pam wanted to be a ballerina, we can laugh and go, well, what a foolish dream that was. Don't give it up, Pam. I still believe in you. But, see, that's us saying, well, a child has foolish dreams. But how many adults that have spent hours and hours planning on how they're going to spend that lottery money? Right, thought about it for hours and 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 hours. That's a foolish dream. And how many adults are entrapped by things that are just foolishness? But God has a plan for your life. What if instead of fantasies about being a rock star or whatever, or a movie star or famous or whatever, what about exchanging worldly, stupid dreams that we realize as adults? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, as a child, I thought as a child, you know, but as an adult, I've put away childish things. So we've got to have that, the mature thought of, what if I was thinking godly dreams instead of stupid fantasies? What if I was like, what if my fantasy, what if my dream, what if my desire was that I would be used of God? And Pam, you mentioned the word humility. We cannot be used by God unless we are emptied. And it's not going to ever be a ministry with your name on it. That's a dumb dream. For pastors or churches to say, our dream is to be on TV and we'd have a big sign out that, you know, nope. It's got to be a dream from God. It's got to be a God dream. And God showed Joseph through dreams that he was with him and what he was. And I believe that by that foundation of knowing that God was going to use him, it permitted him to go through some very tough times. And Joseph didn't have the story of Joseph to look at. He didn't know when he was accused falsely of rape that he was going to be put to death. He didn't know that he would be in that prison for the rest of his life. But do you know he never got bitter at God? He trusted God that when his life was upside down and out of control. Listen, when you realize your life is out of control, it always was out of control. You were never in control. It was an illusion. He realized, oh my goodness, things are upside down. And it's because I did what was right. The world will not be happy when you have dreams of God. Your brothers and sisters will not be happy when you have dreams of God. And Potiphar and his wife won't be happy when you don't go along with the world's program and do what the world would do. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. You have to know who you are. You are set apart by God. You are chosen by God. And God, and so you are going to have to say no to Potiphar's wife. You are going to have to say no to things of the world and only say yes to God. And you know what? Whether you are in the palace or in the pit, our attitude should be the same. God is in control.
Something interesting I was studying a little bit back, and this thought came to me. God will literally give you a gift and not allow you to use that gift until your character is developed. Isn't that the strangest thing that Pastor Ken would, my brother here, would give me a gift but not allow me to use that gift? Because, like, I'll give you one of the examples that came to me. When Sandra was 15, we were buying a car, and somehow, I do not know how this happens, and Dave and I are a lot wiser since it happened that day, but the dealer told us if we'd buy two cars, that we'd get a better deal. And so we decided, well, we've got this child who needs a car someday, and got her a car. She didn't even have a license. I mean, Tammy had to drive her around. She didn't even have a license. I mean, it's like you get somebody a gift and you go, we got you a gift, but you can't use it. You ain't ready for it. Who does that? God does that. God does that. He's like, you're not ready. Yes, you are gifted. And something else that I would like to say is, do you know that God is the only one that I know of that can take you to school and you don't even know you're in school? He can take you to school and you don't know you're sitting in the class. You're going through something and it's God teaching you. It's just like Joseph's dreams were going to come through, but he had to go through the school of what our folks called hard knocks. Hard knocks. It's a hard knock life. He had to go through some stuff because God was developing his character so that he could rule over these people and do it with a humble heart and a right heart. And so that he could, otherwise, when those brothers came for their food, you know, Joseph led the welfare program of Egypt. And when the brothers came, he would have said, no soup for you. No food for you. You know how you did me. But that was not God's plan. God developed his character in such a way that through going through the pit and the hard times of life and false accusations, that Joseph knew what to do when the brothers came before him. I will feed them too. And I understand, but God proves us in the wilderness. God's going to prove us in the storm. And I want to say one more thing that I think is very important. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write this one down. Preparation comes before promotion. Promotion does not come before preparation. That's just the way life works. You've got to be prepared. Nobody's going to promote somebody who's not prepared for the promotion. And so some of these things we have to be prepared for. So when we're talking about, I didn't see that coming, how many of you know we sometimes today we do see the hurricanes coming, but spiritual hurricanes, you don't see them coming, do you? And so here's what I want to say. The time to build a storm shelter is not when you see the tornado heading your way. The time to build a storm, you know, I remember years ago in New Mexico when my dad and some other people were working on a storm shelter, but there was no storm outside. It was like 105 degrees in New Mexico, and they were working on this silly storm shelter. Silly, 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 isn't it? No, it's not. No, it's not. Because here's the thing. The time to build an ark for your family is not when your family is going to hell in a handbasket. It's when they're little children you build an ark. And here's the thing I want to say about Noah. Dear God, let our children see us building the ark. That is my challenge to you today. Let your children see you building the ark. And you tell them the rain is coming, the storm is coming, and I want you in the ark, and I want you to be safe. And do you know that the church is an ark? You need to bring your children to the church. I am so grateful. And this came to me, this thought, as I was praying and asking God about this message. Noah's children watched him build the ark in faith. Was it faith in the storm? No, it was faith in the God who's going to protect them from the storm. And I started thinking about my dad, and I started thinking about him building this church. The sides where some of you are sitting today is where he broke ground. And I watched him as a child build an ark. What is an ark, Pastor Pam? What the heck are you talking about? I'm talking about a place for me to come when I'm hurting, when I'm broken, when I need a safe place. I come to this ark. It is the ark of God. It is holy ground. And your children should see you building a place, even in your home, where they can come and see you working in the kingdom. They don't need to see you out doing fun activities. They need to see you working for God. They need to know that you give to the poor. They need to know, you know, I love that Sandra will go with me if I'm out delivering turkeys to people who need and groceries and things like that. I like that when she was 17 years old, we took her to the homeless shelter with us. You know, people said you probably shouldn't bring your kids here. I thought, heck no, my kids come into the homeless shelter. And that's what we need to do. But the point is, we need to prepare. We need to prepare ourselves for the day of adversity, and we need to prepare our children, because the reality is that at some time you're going to be faced with the unexpected, and I just want you to be ready.
The kingdom of God is, for the most part, invisible to our natural eyes, and yet we know it's all around us, just like radio waves are all around us, x-rays are all around us. Communications, TV stations, it's invisible, but it's still there. We know that it's there. We can't see the wind, but we know that it's there. And the kingdom of God is all around you. And if your eyes could be open to see, I heard someone say, if we could see in the kingdom what's happening when we're praying, we'd be praying all the time. I'm expecting this church to be used by God. And I'm expecting myself to be used by God. And you can't have a baby unless you're first expecting. So you've got to be expecting God to move in your life. You've got to be prophesying that God will move in your life. Even if you fall on your face, we used to laugh about Pastor Bill. He was in his nursing home ministry. And when you're in nursing home ministry, everyone you're praying for, you know, they're elderly. And he had a string of luck where he would go and pray for people that were sick in the nursing home, and then the next day they would die, and they were calling him the angel of death, you know, or he was calling himself that, you know, he's going in and praying. But what do you do when you pray and they die, and then you pray again and they die? You know what you do? You keep at it, Alan, because it's appointed unto people once to die. So we don't know when that day is, so we're always going to pray the prayer of faith. And I'd rather fall on my face trying to be in faith, right, than be in fear and just say, I'll never trust God for anything. I'm too afraid. We've got to stretch our faith. But we've got to be aware of the kingdom, that your eyes and my eyes and our ears. How many times does Jesus say, if you have eyes, see, if you have ears, hear? Why does he keep saying that? Because he's saying you have eyes, but you're missing the obvious. It's like you look at the world and pictures of the world and you go, I wonder if there's a God. It's like, you've just been looking at his creation. It's all around you. You've been hearing it. It's all around us. Pam, when you're talking about the church, last week I didn't get a chance to share this with everyone, but as I was praying, I was thinking about that a hurricane, and you know, you see on weather maps these giant hurricanes, and you see all the clouds, but you always see the eye of the hurricane right there in the middle. And I was thinking that this, what's that?
Debbie and I talked about it. We loved it.
Oh, okay. But I didn't get to share it with everyone. So what I felt like, and again, this is not, be humble. You don't have to say God told me this or God told me that, you know. But this church is the eye of the hurricane. Because I feel like when I'm out in the world, when I drive away from here, anything can happen. There's robberies, there's criminal stuff. You kind of you get away from the house of God. But when I come in here and I go to the altar and I read the word, I feel like clarity comes into my life. This is the swimming pool. This is the place of refreshing. This is the place where God moves. This is the eye of the hurricane. This is where we're safe. But you can feel it. North, south, east, or west, whichever way you travel, you're away from that protection. But I say keep praying. I say keep trusting God. Keep stretching your faith. Keep asking God to use you. What a dangerous prayer. God, use me. And if you mean it and say, God, I empty myself and I want you to use me. I want to be humble. I want to download something from the Spirit. I'm always reminded of that, and I'm going to finish. I know we have to take communion, that those war stories where war movies where they're pinned down behind enemy and they just call in an airstrike, and they call in the airstrike on top of their own position. They're like, just drop it. We're with the enemy. The enemy's with us. They've overrun our position. We're calling in an airstrike on ourselves. And it's like, Holy Spirit, just dump it. Drop it on me. Let the fire fall. It's going to burn away things that need to be burned away. God, burn those things away. What's going to happen tomorrow, God knows it. The world's got their magic eight balls. Should I do this? Yes, no. There should be one that, when you shake the magic eight ball, it says, trust God. There shouldn't be any. See, that's not how we order our life. I always joke about people go for palm readings because they want to know what's going to happen. I want to have a sign that says, psalm readings. Come right in. And people come in, they go, are you here for, I'm here for my reading. And you go, okay, let's turn to Psalm 23. I see the Lord is your shepherd. I'm looking into, praise God. We can trust in God. Don't trust in your banker. Don't trust in your horoscope. Don't trust in anybody but the word of God. If God is for you, does it matter who is against you? God is on your side. Every need shall be supplied. But, and I want to say it one more time, and I'm giving it to Pam. We're going to pray and all that. Whoa, communion. God can only use me and only use you to the extent that you give him permission to move in your life. And then look out. Amen. Communion. Praise God.
So when adversity strikes, we have to be prepared, right? We have to be prepared in advance. And how do we prepare? We prepare with the Word of God. You know, I vividly remember, I have a memory from my childhood that I vividly remember. We were all packed up, Mom will remember this, we were all packed up and we were ready to go on a trip out of state. I believe it was New Mexico, but it could have been Mississippi. We were all packed up and my dad suddenly remembered that he forgot something and he went back inside to get it. It was the map. And I thought, why do you have to go back and get that map? But now I know. Because you have to read the map. You have to know where you're going. You have a destination and know where you're going because life has a lot of detours. And even if you know where you're going, there might be a better way to go. God has a better way. So we're going to stand right now. I want to read to you as we close today from Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And when the rain came and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat upon that house, it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And your life will not fall apart and you will not fall if you build your house on the solid rock of God. And the only reason that you can trust in God is because he's trustworthy and he's been trustworthy all of your life. He's brought you to now, and he's going to continue on. Let's trust in the Lord. Alan, you want to come? We're going to receive communion.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.